Okay, we will start again, and in particular, I would like to welcome Michelle Prada here today, this afternoon, as the chairman of the trustees. And as I mentioned earlier, there was a trustee meeting last week, so really for the next hour or so, Michelle and Yael and David will take us through, I guess, what some of the outcomes of last week, together with other issues that in particular the trustees and the IFRS Foundation staff are looking at. So, Michelle, pass it over to you.
Thank you, Johanna. Good afternoon, everybody. It's good to be here with you again. Since your last meeting, by the way, we had two trustees meetings, one in London in July, and the other one in Mexico City last week. So I will report on both when needed. It was important for us to be in Mexico. Mexico has required the use of IFRS from 2012, and it's an important economy, and we thought it was good for us to visit them. And by the way, the visit was extremely friendly and useful. In both meetings, we had stakeholder events, and I would like to say a few words of these events. In July, we had a very important one, which was organized together with the European University Institute in Firenze, and it was hosted as a very important event, namely the first Tommaso Padoa-Schioppa Memorial Lecture. We were honored to have Mario Draghi with us, the president of the ECB, who delivered an important speech on structural reform. Professor Richard Portis provided the vote for thanks. And I just would like to mention something which is extremely important to us, and I guess to you, which is a quotation from Mario's speech. And I quote, he made mention of the global growth of IFRS, and I quote, his trust that the momentum will be kept, and in particular, that European policymakers will progress swiftly in the adoption of IFRS 9, end of quotation. In Mexico, we had a stakeholder event that was jointly hosted with our friends and colleagues from the Consejo Mexicano de Normas de Información Financiera, CINIF, and the Comisión Nacional Bancaria de Valores, la CNBV. We had presentations by Jaime González Aguadé, president of the CNBV, and Robert Del Cueto, deputy governor of the Bank of Mexico. The event took place in a period of very bad weather and was enlivened by strong storms, thunder and lightning, glass panels breaking. But the presenters were very brave and were able to deliver their speeches. We had excellent presentations. In both meetings, again, we had presentations from local rent standard setters. And I think this is something we will normally do in the future, to have the opportunity to exchange views with the standard setters of the place where we are, be they national or regional. We had a presentation by Sir Win Bischoff in London, the new chairman of the UK Financial Reporting Council, together with Melanie McLaren, Executive Director of Codes and Standards. That was a fairly candid discussion, I have to say, and we addressed some touchy issues, such as leases, for instance. You will not be surprised by that. But it was extremely interesting for the trustees to have a feedback from the chairman of the FRC. Same way, we had very good presentation by Jorge José Gil and Felipe Pérez Cervantes, President and Vice President of the Group of Latin American Standard Setters, the GLAS. The Glass, as you may know, is a member of ASAF, and it was extremely interesting to have a report on the development of Glass, which is a rather young organization. It was set up in, I think, 2011, but it is now a grouping of nearly 17 countries, and it is developing well. And, of course, it is extremely useful from the point of view of coordination of accounting policies in the region. I have to say that both of them were also very candid, mentioning the ways and means whereby our relationship with them could be improved, and we will certainly consider very carefully the proposals they made. Next item I will briefly mention is funding. It is a permanent issue, as you know. It is not an issue we have made much progress on, although I have to say that we are doing progress. There are some countries that have changed their position and are preparing to contribute or have contributed, mention Israel, mention Indonesia. But there remains clearly an issue with countries that have not found the right way to address this this issue of funding. If I may on this, I would share with you a personal view on this, because this question of funding has two faces, really. One is the global policy we have. I think it is fairly clear. We want to have this funding based in majority on publicly sponsored contributions. Now, the way the second one is how do countries do it? I think today, although there have been discussions here and there, the criteria we have used are fairly well accepted. The notion that countries that are users of IFRS should contribute according to GDP is something that is fairly well shared today, and most countries that contribute do contribute on the basis of their GDP share. The difficulty is really institutional, how to organize the way at the national level countries do contribute. And here I think we have difficulties that deal with organization and even sometimes legal constraints. And my personal view is that we should not focus too much on legal approach, because obviously this is something that is mostly, in most countries, difficult to deal with. I suppose governments and parliaments do not consider as a priority to pass a law on the contribution to a body such as. We're talking thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars. This is probably not a priority in a budgetary discussion, and it raises probably some technical difficulties. So my advice, and that's what I told my Mexican colleagues, is that we should see, and you can play a role in this, we should see in countries the development of arrangements locally between the stakeholders, with possibly either the accounting profession or the standard setters or the securities regulators or the ministries of finance, according to countries, taking the lead, but in a sort of coordinating role. That is what exists in many countries around the world, to begin with Europe, and I just wanted to mention it en passant. International updates. We talked about Europe. Today, not much to say about Europe because, as you know, transformations are taking place. The new commissioner has just been confirmed. EFRAG is being reorganized. There are ongoing discussions within the EU. We keep in touch very closely. The only thing I would like to mention is the consultation that has been made by the EU Commission on Europe's experience of IFRS. And we have decided to provide a response to this consultation. Obviously, it will be slightly different from the questionnaire that was sent, but we thought it was important for us to deliver some messages to the Commission on this occasion. As you may know, there has been a staff paper delivered before, and this response will be sent soon to the Commission. We believe, with regard to Europe, that something important has changed, and this is Europe's agenda. As you may have seen, two concepts have been developed in the new policy of the President of the Commission: jobs and growth, and the building of a truly integrated European Capital Markets Union. This project shows that although a lot of progress has been made since the launch of the Financial Services Action Plan in the early 2000s, a lot remains to be done, and we believe that on both issues, jobs and growth and European Capital Markets Union, IFRS can be extremely useful by the quality of the information provided to the markets and by the harmonization of the system, not only within Europe, but between Europe and the rest of the world, because obviously Europe is an open market, and while we foresee a more integrated union, we also foresee a union that is working with other markets in the world. And from that point of view, there is clearly a consistency with regard to the development of IFRS. So we look forward to working with Jonathan Hill and all the stakeholders, the European Parliament, in the future. We also are waiting for the finalization of the reform of EFRAG, which is extremely important for us. We've been working very, in a very friendly and efficient way with EFRAG in the past, and of course we expect to develop excellent relations with the new organization in the future. In Asia, Oceania, good news. Japan, that is seeing positive developments. The number of Japanese companies that opt in IFRS increases significantly. It has more than doubled in the last 12 months. And today we consider that 48 companies, big ones, representing a significant part of Japanese market cap, have now moved or will very soon move to IFRS. And we have excellent working relation with our Japanese colleagues. I will, by the way, visit Japan in the next weeks, as well as China, which is, as you know, very close to IFRS, and where we have identified that a number of companies, probably 250, have in fact used IFRS for dual listings. And I will visit China also, and then Korea on the occasion of this trip to Asia. India, positive discussions taking place there with the Indian authorities. They wish to adopt Indian standards based on IFRS, but possibly with a few exceptions that I understand they would like to limit as much as possible, with a view possibly in the future to eliminate them. And of course, India today provides Indian companies with the possibility to voluntarily adopt full IFRS. Last in Asia, the development of the Asia-Oceania office in Tokyo. It is a device that functions well. We would like to see it having more regional reach, and for that purpose, its development, which is supported by our very generous Japanese friends, his development is based on enlarging a little the number of staff. We have two new members of the staff, including a Chinese national. United States, not much to say there. Still talks and thinking with our American colleagues. The important event that took place, obviously, is the appointment of the new Chief Accountant Jim Schnoor, and we will certainly continue to engage with our friends there, be they the FASB, the FAF, the SEC, and possibly also the stakeholders to see whether there is some possibility of progress in this country. Africa and Middle East, we considered it in July, And we analyzed the situations, which is not the same all over the continent, clearly. There are some countries that are very advanced and have adopted IFRS for some time, others that are probably in a different position. The policy there clearly is both to provide support to education and to encourage participation. And of course, here we have to work with those who can help us, notably the World Bank. We had a report on ISB emerging issues by Hans Høgevorst. In July, he made a presentation of IFRS 9, which is a significant achievement and which we hope will clarify the picture for the future, at least in the financial sector, banking sector mainly. And in Mexico, Hans provided an in-depth update on leasing and insurance, which are extremely important projects. May I, from a personal point of view, make a comment on this, not stepping in the standard setting process, which is not my role, but analyzing the situation. I'm struck by the fact that with regard to leases, the ISB as well as the FASB have agreed upon the fundamental change, which is to consider that leases are part of leverage and have to be represented on the balance sheet. Then I leave it to the technicians to debate on the ways you do that. But we should not lose sight of this major agreement between these two bodies. When we think about convergence, this is another example of convergence, and we should underline it. Insurance is probably more difficult, I guess, because insurance itself is extremely complex, and that the functioning of insurance according to countries is not the same. My feeling is that the main question deals with what people call life insurance, which in my country is not death insurance, but merely an investment product. So I guess the discussion here can be difficult for issues of business models and different approach to what insurance means. I stop here. I shouldn't go beyond. We then had a long deliberation on the trustee evaluation. We dealt with a questionnaire, and we did a sort of self-assessment in the course of last summer, and we discussed the feedback. We had a very good and candid exchange of views with a few proposals to improve the functioning of our board, the focus on the main issues, the relationship with the staff, the way we organize our meetings. I will not elaborate on that now because this is internal to us and we are still discussing our orientations, but hopefully, I suppose, we will make some important decisions at our next meeting in Zurich. Just as to mention en passant on this occasion of our activities, there is also the implementation of the strategy. We try to look into the way the strategy is delivered on time. And I would mention, but you're aware of it, the fact that we have put the focus on implementation, and that for that purpose we have established two protocols, the first one with IOSCO and very recently another one with ESMA in Europe. Together with our self-evaluation, we'll start soon the review of the organization. We've decided that, of course, this will be an open process and we will have a host of consultations, but we need to have a body to deal with it together with the staff. And we've decided that the executive committee would be the review group and that the executive committee would report to the full board on the proposals made. Again, with regard to organization and management, Next year is the time when we have to deal with the review of ASAF, and we talked about it in Mexico. We believe ASAF has been a remarkable success, but we know that there are issues here and there, and we want to look into those issues and to do it again with ASAF members, but also looking for public input on this very important topic during the course of next year. We made a decision on an idea that came to us with experience, and this new idea was to establish a formal, we call it alumni network. I'll come back to the fact that a few trustees left us on the occasion of this meeting in Mexico, and it came to our mind that it was unfortunate that we would not be organized to keep in touch with them, to benefit from their capacity to engage if they wish in their countries, and to include them if they wish in our life. So we decided to establish an alumni network, and Yael has to deliver on this, and we think that this would help enlarge the family. We then had the report of the chair of the IFRS Advisory Council, and Johanna provided trustees with the initial thoughts on the role of the council. We took stock of the need to amend the Council's terms of reference in relation to its secondary objective, moving the focus from promotion and adoption of IFRS to the Council encouraging broad participation in the development of IFRS, and we are waiting for your input in our work. We are extremely encouraged by what has been done in the past, and certainly keen to see the Advisory Council bring their views to our work. We had quite a long discussion on education and content. This is also, with implementation, a strategic direction that is being developed. It goes with a number of issues. All these issues, by the way, are influenced by the development of internet and all these devices I'm not familiar with, or not enough I'm familiar with, and we believe that we have to reconsider a number of things we do, redesign EIFRS, but also think about the way we can support education, the way we can deliver to the users. This, by the way, goes also with the thinking about what should be done as a sort of public good for free, what should be done as a possible contribution to the funding of the organization. And this leads to some difficult considerations on the way we deal with this. How do we deal with intellectual property, which is a very tricky issue, where we have decided to ask a specialized firm to advise us. We had a report by the Audit and Finance Committee. First item I would like to mention is that we have asked for an independent review of the cost effectiveness of our organization. This review was conducted by Baker Tilly, and their report confirmed, by the way, our assumptions that this is a cost-effective organization and that we're not wasting public money and that we function along best practice. We will send this report to the monitoring board and see how they react to it. And we were glad to see that the situation was good. And we were also encouraged by the fact that although we still have these funding issues, the current financial of the organization is sound. We had a few years ago, reserves that represented less than 6 months, and now we are three quarters of a year. We would like to be a little more comfortable, probably seeking 1 year of reserves, but we will probably get there due to the excellent management of our expenses by the staff. I will mention to finish, because others will deal with the last item, which is DPOC and possibly other items. I would mention some changes in the body of trustees. Firstly, in July, we were able to announce that following approval by the monitoring board, a number of reappointments were confirmed. Ronald Arculi, Shandu Bavi, Callum McCarthy, Marco Nado, myself, and Jim Quigley, for a further term effective from the 1st of January 2015, expiring 31st of December 2017. We are still handling the process of new appointments. We then have had to pay tribute to our excellent colleagues that were leaving us on the occasion of the Mexico meeting or at the end of the year. Two vice chairs, Aki Fujinuma from Japan, and Bob Glauber, two excellent colleagues. I will not repeat all the thanks and congratulations I made to them in Mexico. I would just like to mention the role they played together after the demise of Tommaso Padoa-Schioppa, when they led the organization during the 2011 year. And not only did they manage the day-to-day functioning of the organization, but they were bold enough to undertake the strategic review, which is still our strategic direction, and I would like to commend them for that. We also pay tribute to Clemens Bursig from Germany, remarkable chairman of the Audit and Finance Committee, and dedicated ambassador for the IFRS Foundation in Germany and in Europe, and he played a very important role again in many occasions, but I would like to mention last year and early this year when we had debates with the EU. And then last but not least, Scott Evans, who has been a remarkable chairman of the DPOC. I think the DPOC was already very well developed, but Scott continued the mission of his predecessor, and I think if we can be criticized for this or that, globally speaking, and having in mind other organizations, I truly believe that it is difficult to find an organization that has the equivalent of our DPOC. Finally, we made a few appointments in Mexico. We agreed that Ron Arculi from Hong Kong should be appointed as chairman of the Human Capital Committee. He replaces Aki. Harvey Goldschmidt will be the chairman of the Due Process Oversight Committee, following Scott. Sheila Fraser will be chairman of the Nominating Committee. Sheila from Canada. She will replace Bob Glauber. And Yoji Okada has been appointed chairman of the Audit and Finance Committee, succeeding Clemens Bursig. We will be in the process of reappointing the two vice chairs. And having said that, this completes my report, but not the report on the Board of Trustees, because I suppose David and possibly Yael would like to report on DPOC and possibly other issues.